searching ancient chronicles, it was my chance to find a story worth the writing out in my conceit and mind. It is an admonition good that children ought to have, with reverence for to think upon their parents laid in grave. In Thracia lived a gentleman of noble progeny, who ruled his household with great fame and true integrity. This gentleman did take to wife a neat and gallant dame, whose outward shoe and beauty bright did many hearts inflame. The luster that came from her looks, her carriage and her grace, like beauteous Cynthia did outshine each lady in that place. And being puffed up by pride with ease and jollity, her husband could not her content, she other men must try. Lasciviously long time she lived, yet bore it cunningly, for she had those that watched so well that he could not espy. With bribes and gifts she so bewitched the hearts of some were near, that they concealed her wickedness and kept it from her dear. The spending of her time away in extreme wantonness, her private friends, when she did please, unto her had access. But the all-seeing eye of heaven such sins will not conceal, and by some means at last will be the truth of all reveal. Upon a time sore sick she fell, yea, to the very death, and her physician told her plain she must resign her breath. Divines did likewise visit her, and holy counsel gave, and bade her call upon the Lord that he her soul might save. Among the rest she did desire they would her husband bring. I have a secret to reveal, she said, my heart doth sting. Then he came posting presently unto her where she lay, and weeping then he did desire what she to him would say. She did entreat that all might void the room and he would stay. Your pardon, husband, I beseech, unto him she did say, for I have wronged your marriage bed and played the wanton wife. To you the truth I will reveal ere I depart this life. For hopeful sons you think you have, to me it best is known, and three of them are none of yours, of four but one's your own. And by yourself on me begot, which have so wanton been, these dying tears forgiveness beg, let mercy then be seen. This stroke her husband in a dump, his heart was almost dead, but rousing of his spirits up, these words to her he said, I do forgive thee with my heart, so thou the truth wilt tell, which of the four is my own son, and all things shall be well. Oh, pardon me, my husband dear, unto him she did say, they are my children, every one, and so she went away. Away he goes with heavy heart, his griefs he did conceal, and like a wise and prudent man, to none did it reveal. Not knowing which to be his own, each of his love did share, and to be trained in virtue's paths, of them he had a care. In learning great and gentle grace, they were brought up and taught, such dear affection in the hearts of parents God hath wrought. They now were grown to men's estates, and lived most gallantly. Each had his horse, his hawk, his hound, and did their manhood try. The ancient man did joy thereat, but yet he did not know which was his son among the four that bred in him much woe. At length his glass of life was run, the fates do so decree, for poor and rich they all must die, and death will take no fee. unto some judges he did send, and counsel that were grave, who presently to him did come to know what he would have. They coming then to his bedside, unto them he did say, I know you all to be my friends, most faithful every way. And now before I leave the world, I beg this at your hands, to have a care which of my son shall have my goods and lands. And to them all he did relate what things his wife had done. There is but one amongst the four that is my native son. And to your judgment I commit when I am laid in grave, which is my son and which is fit my lands and goods to have. He dying, they in council said what best were to be done, for 'twas a task of great import to judge which was his son. The brothers likewise were at strife which should the living have, when as the ancient man was dead and buried in his grave. The judges must decide the cause, and thus they did decree, the dead man's body up to take and tie it to a tree. A bow each brother he must have, and eke an arrow take, to shoot at their dead father's corpse as if he were a stake. And he whose arrow nearest hit his heart as he did stand, they judged him for to be right heir and fit to have the land. On this they all did straight agree, and to the field they went. Each had a man his shaft to bear and bow already bent. Now quoth the judges, try your skill upon your father there, that we may quickly know who shall unto the land be heir. The eldest took his bow in hand and shaft whereas he stood, which pierced so deep the dead man's breast that it did run with blood. The second brother then must shoot, who straight did take his aim, and with his arrow made a wound that blood came from the same. The third likewise must try his skill, the matter to decide, whose shaft did make a wound most deep unto the dead man's side. Unto the fourth and youngest then a bow and shaft was brought, who said, d'ye think that ere my heart could harbor such a thought, to shoot at my dear father's heart, although that he be dead, for all the kingdoms in the world that far and wide are spread. And turning of him round about, the tears ran down amain, he flung his bow upon the ground and broke his shaft in twain. The judges, seeing his remorse, they then concluded all, he was the right, the other three, they were unnatural. And so the strait possessed the lands, being made the heir of all, and heaven by nature in this kind unto his heart did call. His brothers, they did envy him, but yet he need not care, and of his wealth in portions large unto them he did share.